Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Comprensión oral. Inglés. Nivel intermedio B2. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract.
Zero.
Right, so according to this research from the insurance company Marmalade, they specialise in giving insurance to new drivers.
Yeah.
They carried out this research, and for most learners, they say that it's a pretty common occurrence to get a load of abuse off other drivers.
Extract.
One.
So let's hear what Paul Baxter from Marmalade has to say.
We were getting feedback from driving instructors that they were experiencing aggressive behaviour from other road users. So we conducted a survey amongst more than 600 UK driving instructors. A third experienced road rage on a daily basis against their pupils.
Did they say what sort of behaviour it was?
Yeah, so the sorts of things they were experiencing were tailgating. Over 90% said they'd experienced aggressive overtaking with this relentless urge to overtake an L plate. And two-thirds of young people said they had experienced abusive gestures from other road users and half verbal abuse from other road users.
Extract.
Two.
And I know you're not a psychologist, Paul, but why do you think that people are so rude and horrible to learner drivers? When we all know that when we're driving, that if you see a learner, you know they're learning and they might make mistakes. What do you think is going on in some people's heads that makes them behave like that?
I think a lot of road users see an L plate on a car and just assume it's going to slow them down in some sort of way and they're going to somehow be taking longer than they would otherwise be.
Extract.
Three.
One of our colleagues in the office here, actually, she was practicing with her daughter, and what she was getting her to do was to drive to and from school each day, and the mum was just taking the car afterwards to go home. What she found was that she dropped her daughter at school and then she drove home, and while the L plates were still attached to the car, she was experiencing aggressive behaviour because she was being treated as a learner driver, although she was an experienced driver and a good driver.
So it wasn't even down to the behaviour of that car, you know, that it was making mistakes. It's just the fact that it had the L plates on it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's nothing that the learner drivers are doing. It's down to the L plates themselves, which are sort of inspiring this rage amongst people and wanting to get past them or get out of their way.
Extract.
Four.
Can you still get those green P plates that you could get after you passed, which indicated that you were you'd passed your test, but you were new, so go easy.
Yeah.
Now, I thought they were a bad idea because I thought they invited people to be angry and criticise your driving.
Yeah, I didn't want one when I'd passed.
No.
Extract.
5.
And I got a bit of a theory about, you know, what car do you drive?
It's a Skoda.
What sort?
It's a Skoda Saloon from 2006. It's still going strong.
So I've got a Hyundai i10. It's quite little.
With your heated seats?
With my heated seats.
Let's not forget those.
Yeah, it's the premium model. But when a 4x4 is behind me,
yeah,
I do feel a bit, and it's really close, I do feel like, oh, I'm only in a little car, and, you know, I feel insignificant. Do you think it's like the playground, isn't it?
There's a hierarchy. It's like Lord of the Flies out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Extract.
6.
Earlier I spoke to Ashley Neal. He runs a driving school in Liverpool. And he also posts videos on YouTube of other drivers verbally abusing his students and getting out their cars to harass them. And these videos sometimes get millions of views.
The abuse that the learners get, it's to be honest, it's constant. They can range from swearing. You can see people mouthing in your mirror. People gesturing, or even just trying to put pressure on you, driving too close and trying to bully you out of the way. I've seen it get worse over the 20 years that I've been doing the job, and the students are affected greatly, to be honest. You can see them straight away go into panic mode. They start gripping the wheel.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract.
0.
Right, so according to this research from the insurance company Marmalade, they specialise in giving insurance to new drivers.
Yeah.
They carried out this research, and for most learners, they say that it's a pretty common occurrence to get a load of abuse off other drivers.
Extract.
1.
So let's hear what Paul Baxter from Marmalade has to say.
We were getting feedback from driving instructors that they were experiencing aggressive behaviour from other road users. So we conducted a survey amongst more than 600 UK driving instructors. A third experienced road rage on a daily basis against their pupils.
Did they say what sort of behaviour it was?
Yeah, so the sorts of things they were experiencing were tailgating. Over 90% said they'd experienced aggressive overtaking with this relentless urge to overtake an L plate. And two-thirds of young people said they had experienced abusive gestures from other road users, and half verbal abuse from other road users.
Extract.
2.
And I know you're not a psychologist, Paul, but why do you think that people are so rude and horrible to learner drivers, when we all know that when we're driving, that if you see a learner, you know they're learning and they might make mistakes? What do you think is going on in some people's heads that makes them behave like that?
I think a lot of road users see an L plate on a car and just assume it's going to slow them down in some sort of way, and they're going to somehow be taking longer than they would otherwise be.
Extract.
3.
One of our colleagues in the office here, actually, she was practicing with her daughter, and what she was getting her to do was to drive to and from school each day, and the mum was just taking the car afterwards to go home. What she found was that she dropped her daughter at school and then she drove home, And while the L plates were still attached to the car, she was experiencing aggressive behaviour because she was being treated as a learner driver, although she was an experienced driver and a good driver.
So it wasn't even down to the behaviour of that car, you know, that it was making mistakes. It's just the fact that it had the L plates on it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's nothing that the learner drivers are doing. It's down to the L plates themselves, which are sort of inspiring this rage amongst people and wanting to get past them or get out of their way.
Extract
4.
Can you still get those green P plates that you could get after passed, which indicated that you were you'd passed your test, but you were new, so go easy.
Yeah.
Now, I thought they were a bad idea because I thought they invited people to be angry and criticise your driving.
Yeah, I didn't want one when I'd passed.
No.
Extract
5.
And I got a bit of a theory about, you know, what car do you drive?
It's a Skoda.
What sort of?
It's a Skoda Saloon from 2006. It's still going strong.
So I've got a Hyundai i10. It's quite little.
With your heated seats.
With my heated seats.
Let's not forget those.
Yeah, it's the premium model. But when a 4x4 is behind me, I do feel a bit, and it's really close. I do feel like, oh, I'm only in a little car, and, you know, I feel insignificant. Do you think it's like it's like the playground, isn't it?
There's a hierarchy. It's like Lord of the Flies out there.
Yeah.
Extract
6.
Earlier I spoke to Ashley Neal. He runs a driving school in Liverpool. And he also posts videos on YouTube of other drivers verbally abusing his students and getting out their cars to harass them. And these videos sometimes get millions of views.
The abuse that the learners get, it's to be honest, it's constant. They can range from swearing. You can see people mouthing in your mirror. People gesturing, or even just trying to put pressure on you, driving too close and trying to bully you out of the way. I've seen it get worse over the 20 years that I've been doing the job, and the students are affected greatly, to be honest. You can see them straight away go into panic mode. They start gripping the wheel.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract 1.
What's so great about the Great Lakes? They're known as America's inland seas. The North American Great Lakes, Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior, are so massive that they border 8 states and contain 23 quadrillion liters of water. That's enough to cover the land area of the contiguous United States 3 meters deep. These vast bodies of water span forest, grassland, and wetland habitats, supporting a region that's home to over 3,500 species. But how did such a vast and unique geological feature come to be? The story begins near the end of the last ice age, over 10,000 years ago, a time when the climate was warming and the glaciers that cloaked the Earth's surface began their slow retreat. These immense ice sheets carved out a series of basins. Those basins filled with water as the ice began to melt, creating the world's largest area of freshwater lakes. Over time, channels developed between these basins, and water began to flow in an ongoing exchange that persists to this day. In fact, today, the interconnected Great Lakes contain almost 20% of the world's supply of fresh surface water.
Extract 2.
The water's journey begins in the far north of Lake Superior, which is the deepest, coldest, and clearest of the lakes, containing half the system's water. Lake Superior sinks to depths of 406 meters, creating a unique and diverse ecosystem that includes more than 80 fish species. A given drop of water spends, on average, 200 years in this lake before flowing into Lake Michigan or Lake Huron. Linked by the Straits of Mackinac, these two lakes are technically one. To the west lies Lake Michigan, the third largest of the lakes by surface area. Water slowly moves through its cul-de-sac shape and encounters the world's largest freshwater dunes, many wildlife species, and unique fossilized coral. To the east is Lake Huron, which has the longest shoreline. It's sparsely populated but heavily forested, including 7,000-year-old petrified trees. Below them, water continues to flow southeastwards from Lake Huron into Lake Erie. This lake's status as the warmest and shallowest of the five has ensured an abundance of animal life, including millions of migrating birds. Finally, the water reaches its last stop by dramatically plunging more than 50 meters down the thundering Niagara Falls into Lake Ontario, the smallest lake by surface area. From there, some of this well-traveled water enters the St. Lawrence River, eventually reaching the Atlantic Ocean.
Extract 3.
In addition to being a natural wonder, the perpetually flowing Great Lakes bring us multiple benefits. They provide natural water filtration, flood control, and nutrient cycling. By moving water across more than 3,200 kilometers, the Great Lakes also provide drinking water for upward of 40 million people and 212 billion liters a day for the industries and farms that line their banks. But our dependence on the system is having a range of negative impacts, too. The Great Lakes' coastal habitats are being degraded and increasingly populated, exposing the once pristine waters to industrial, urban, and agricultural pollutants. Because less than 1% of the water leaves the lake system annually, decades-old pollutants still lurk in its waters. Humans have also inadvertently introduced more than 100 non-native and invasive species into the lakes, such as zebra and quagga mussels, and sea lampreys that have decimated some indigenous fish populations.
Extract 4.
On a larger scale, climate change is causing the waters to warm, thus reducing water levels and changing the distribution of aquatic life. Luckily, in recent years, governments have started to recognize the immense value of this natural resource. Partnerships between the United States and Canada are underway to reduce pollution, protect coastal habitats, and halt the spread of invasive species. Protecting something as massive as the Great Lakes system will require the collaboration of many organizations, but the effort is critical if we can preserve the wonder of this flowing inland sea.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 1.
What's so great about the Great Lakes? They're known as America's inland seas. The North American Great Lakes, Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior, are so massive that they border 8 states and contain 23 quadrillion liters of water. That's enough to cover the land area of the contiguous United States 3 meters deep. These vast bodies of water span forest, grassland, and wetland habitats, supporting a region that's home to over 3,500 species. But how did such a vast and unique geological feature come to be? The story begins near the end of the last ice age, over 10,000 years ago, a time when the climate was warming and the glaciers that cloaked the Earth's surface began their slow retreat. These immense ice sheets carved out a series of basins. Those basins filled with water as the ice began to melt, creating the world's largest area of freshwater lakes. Over time, channels developed between these basins, and water began to flow in an ongoing exchange that persists to this day. In fact, today, the interconnected Great Lakes contain almost 20% of the world's supply of fresh surface water.
Extract 2.
The water's journey begins in the far north of Lake Superior, which is the deepest, coldest, and clearest of the lakes, containing half the system's water. Lake Superior sinks to depths of 406 meters, creating a unique and diverse ecosystem that includes more than 80 fish species. A given drop of water spends, on average, 200 years in this lake before flowing into Lake Michigan or Lake Huron. Linked by the Straits of Mackinac, these two lakes are technically one. To the west lies Lake Michigan, the third largest of the lakes by surface area. Water slowly moves through its cul-de-sac shape and encounters the world's largest freshwater dunes, many wildlife species, and unique fossilized coral. To the east is Lake Huron, which has the longest shoreline. It's sparsely populated but heavily forested, including 7,000-year-old petrified trees. Below them, water continues to flow southeastwards from Lake Huron into Lake Erie. This lake's status as the warmest and shallowest of the five has ensured an abundance of animal life, including millions of migrating birds. Finally, the water reaches its last stop by dramatically plunging more than 50 meters down the thundering Niagara Falls into Lake Ontario, the smallest lake by surface area. From there, some of this well-traveled water enters the St. Lawrence River, eventually reaching the Atlantic Ocean.
Extract 3.
In addition to being a natural wonder, the perpetually flowing Great Lakes bring us multiple benefits. They provide natural water filtration, flood control, and nutrient cycling. By moving water across more than 3,200 kilometers, the Great Lakes also provide drinking water for upward of 40 million people and 212 billion liters a day for the industries and farms that line their banks. But our dependence on the system is having a range of negative impacts, too. The Great Lakes' coastal habitats are being degraded and increasingly populated, exposing the once pristine waters to industrial, urban, and agricultural pollutants. Because less than 1% of the water leaves the lake system annually, decades-old pollutants still lurk in its waters. Humans have also inadvertently introduced more than 100 non-native and invasive species into the lakes, such as zebra and quagga mussels, and sea lampreys that have decimated some indigenous fish populations.
Extract 4.
On a larger scale, climate change is causing the waters to warm, thus reducing water levels and changing the distribution of aquatic life. Luckily, in recent years, governments have started to recognize the immense value of this natural resource. Partnerships between the United States and Canada are underway to reduce pollution, protect coastal habitats, and halt the spread of invasive species. Protecting something as massive as the Great Lakes system will require the collaboration of many organizations, but the effort is critical if we can preserve the wonder of this flowing inland sea.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Tarea 3. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Now, Karen is an artist herself, and for the past 10 years, she's directed several arts festivals in the UK and Australia. But in January 2010, she fell in love with the Sahara Desert and decided to move there.
I came here on a holiday, and I was looking for something different to do in my life. And I found this place, and I met some amazing people, and just fell in love with the landscape and always liked deserts. I don't like heat, but I love the desert. I love horizons. Basically, you can see as far as the eye can see. And people think the desert is empty, but it's not. It's very full of life. It's on a micro scale, though. You start to walk around and you've been here a week and people start to go, oh, I saw this little flower and I saw this amazing rock or fossil. Or the perspective is really different here. It's like some things are incredibly vast and some things are incredibly tiny. And I just love all of that.
There are also stray dogs in the desert, and one in particular took a liking to Karen.
There's a big story attached to Diggity the dog. It was a long time before I named him because he was a desert dog. I met him pretty much a year ago today when I was out camping for my birthday camp. And he decided I needed a guardian for the night. So he stayed with me and we had dinner together and breakfast the next morning. And then that was that. But then he started turning up at my house. If I give him some food, off he'd go again. And then last September, he kind of stayed. So that's when I named him Diggity, just Diggity. Every year, the Marathon du Sable runs through the desert. It's an ultra marathon. This year, on the second day, they passed by our house, so we all went out to cheer them on. Diggity started barking and chasing off the helicopter that was swooping down, taking photographs and filming it. And I think he took it upon himself that he should protect these people from this monster that was flying in. So off he went, and he followed the marathon, and I went after him and called him back, and he wouldn't come. And so eventually, we got word that he was still with the marathon. And so
Karen followed Diggity / Cactus's adventures on social media, and she wasn't too worried about him.
I knew he was well looked after on the marathon. I was a bit worried about it being such a long way. But he's incredibly strong and incredibly loyal. So, yeah, I let him go.
Diggity slash Cactus finished the third stage in just 4 hours and 30 minutes.
He got a medal, which was very exciting. He got a bone. he basically just came home and slept for 3 days. Yeah, just gave him the normal food. He loves his sardines, so he got sardines.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Now, Karen is an artist herself, and for the past 10 years, she's directed several arts festivals in the UK and Australia. But in January 2010, she fell in love with the Sahara Desert and decided to move there.
I came here on a holiday and I was looking for something different to do in my life. And I found this place and I met some amazing people and just fell in love with the landscape and always liked deserts. I don't like heat, but I love the desert. I love horizons. Basically, you can see as far as the eye can see. And people think the desert is empty, but it's not. It's very full of life. It's on a micro scale, though. You start to walk around and you've been here a week and people start to go, oh, I saw this little flower and I saw this amazing rock or fossil. Or the perspective is really different here. It's like some things are incredibly vast and some things are incredibly tiny. And I just love all of that.
There are also stray dogs in the desert, and one in particular took a liking to Karen.
There's a big story attached to Diggity the dog. It was a long time before I named him because he was a desert dog. I met him pretty much a year ago today when I was out camping for my birthday camp. And he decided I needed a guardian for the night. So he stayed with me and we had dinner together and breakfast the next morning. And then that was that. But then he started turning up at my house. If I give him some food, off he'd go again. And then last September, he kind of stayed. So that's when I named him Diggity, just Diggity. Every year, the Marathon du Sable runs through the desert. It's an ultra marathon. This year, on the second day, they passed by our house, so we all went out to cheer them on. Diggity started barking and chasing off the helicopter that was swooping down, taking photographs and filming it. And I think he took it upon himself that he should protect these people from this monster that was flying in. So off he went, and he followed the marathon, and I went after him and called him back, and he wouldn't come. And so eventually, we got word that he was still with the marathon. And so
Karen followed Diggity slash Cactus's adventures on social media, and she wasn't too worried about him.
I knew he was well looked after on the marathon. I was a bit worried about it being such a long way, but he's incredibly strong and incredibly loyal. So, yeah, I let him go.
Diggity slash Cactus finished the third stage in just 4 hours and 30 minutes.
He got a medal, which was very exciting. He got a bone. he basically just came home and slept for 3 days. Yeah, just gave him the normal food. He loves his sardines, so he got sardines.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 3. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.